Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Katie Neal. Welcome back to the Katie and Company podcast. This week on the show, I got to sit down with Keith Urban. And I'm going to say this. I may regret it later this year, but I think this might be one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. Keith is just one of those people that like floats into a room. Like, he's so famous. He comes in with that accent, and he's one of the few people that I still get nervous in front of. And going into this interview, I was feeling like a little bit jittery. And then we sat down and we started talking, and I just left feeling like, oh, what an awesome conversation. We talked all about new music that Keith has coming out, and then we did kind of a deep dive on a book that we had both recently read that influenced a bunch of Keith's new album. It's The Creative Way by Rick Rubin, which we talk a lot about in this interview. We also talked about the collaboration, which he's still keeping a secret for this album, that I think I have an idea of who it is, but I'm not going to say it just yet. We also talked about his pre-show rituals, and then Keith shared with me an absolutely, like, just really beautiful, vulnerable story behind his song Somebody Like You, which, if you've never heard the story behind that song, it really, like, very, very moving. We were both almost in tears by the end of it. So with that said, gosh, I hope you enjoy this as much as I did. Here is my conversation with Keith Urban. We're joined this week by four-time Grammy Award-winning Keith Urban. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent.
It's great to see you. You've got a new single here for us, Messed Up Is Me. Talk about the song and the first time that you heard it.
Well, it's a lot of different songs on this record. This one is, that's what's a good way to describe it. It's definitely the sexiest, most dysfunctional song I've ever done. Sexy dysfunctional is how I'd describe this song.
Yeah, because like when it first starts, I'm like, okay, you know, it's Messed Up as Me. And then the Messed Up as Me in the sheets. And I'm like, oh, okay, gets a little bit sexy and dysfunctional. That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about why you wanted this to be the first single from the next part, or this next single from the next project.
It was more response from everybody that had heard a lot of the songs on the record that they really gravitated towards this. It's actually, this album has taken over 2 years to make, because I started what I thought was the album that turned out to not be the album. And that was a strange journey.
What do you mean?
I made a record. I spent about a year making a record and had 13 songs on it. Messed Up As Me was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I took it into play for my team that I value their opinion in February 2023, sitting in there playing. And it was about three or four songs into this album, and I could feel every part of me was just deflating. Like, this is not the album, is it? And I said to my team, it's not it, is it? And God bless them, they said, well, you tell me, is it? And I went, it's not.
Did you not feel it until you were in there,
or
you
weren't?
Oh, that's so interesting.
Because I was touring in 22, we're doing a lot of Vegas dates, and we're touring and we're doing, you know, just a lot of everything. And actually, that was the Speed of Now tour that we'd had to put on hold, obviously, through 2021. Yeah. So we were doing the Speed of Now tour. I'm making this album. And I think each song was really strong unto itself. Mm-hmm. But when I heard them finally all put together, it wasn't the album. I just, whatever, you just feel it or you don't feel it. And mm-hmm. I could feel like this is not it. And I so didn't want to say that. I so wished I could have just said, it's fine. It's fine. Let's go.
No, but I feel like
there's
that's
a
really,
few good songs on there.
It's yeah. brave and very self-aware to stand up in that room with all of those people and be like, I'm going to say it.
Mm.
That's incredible. Wait, so talk more about this album, because yeah. you said it explores a lot of themes, all yeah. very central to the human experience.
So those songs, though, what was interesting was Messed Up as Me and a few others, which were all on that first thing.
Uh-huh. The thing.
The thing. This is a really weird way to put it, but it's the only way I can describe it from the way I felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
I made the record that I was very clear that I was trying to make that didn't have me feeling the way I thought I would feel when it was done. These songs, it was like the songs said to me, we don't belong on this record. We belong on a different record. So mm-hmm. if you take us with you and finish the album, knowing that we're on it, mm-hmm. now go finish the record, you'll be so much happier. I know that's the weirdest thing because songs don't speak, but it's truly the first time ever in my life that this I felt like, all right, well, I went my way. I'm now going to go the song's way. I'm going to let them tell me mm-hmm. where they want to go. And from there, we wrote Straight Line. I did a collaboration with an artist last summer that turned out, I think, fantastic. And I've just been sitting on it since June last year, which is killing me. That's on the record. All these songs started to come together, and it so became the record that I could then walk in and hit play, and top mm-hmm. to bottom was like, ah, that's it. That's it. A year later.
Yeah. I think yeah. it's so beautiful that the song spoke to you. I literally just read Rick Rubin's The Creative Way. Have you read it? And that reminds me of a lot of things he talks about, how like the art will kind of speak to you and guide you if you let it.
That
and
book
so,
informs so much of the album.
Really?
Yeah, so much.
I just listened to it, which was great because Rick reads it. But I'm gonna have to listen to this probably two or three more times because there is so much in there.
There's so much in there. I think taking it back to why we make art yes. to begin with.
Yeah.
And believing in it is it's 100% number mm-hmm. one. And for me, like I said, that album I took in, was it a good album? Yeah, it's fine. But I wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to get out and do interviews and tour and everything else, I have to be 100%.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be living with this album forever.
Forever.
And I've got to then tour it. So I've really got to believe it. Mm-hmm. And that was a 13-song album. And when I read the book too. And when I read the piece where Rick was talking about making decisions on culling songs down and narrowing them down, he mm-hmm. says, if you've got 20 songs and you're trying to get it down to 12, he goes, get it down to 6. Which was such a beautiful approach because yes. he said the 6 will tell you what it is that you're trying to say. And then you can expand out from those 6.
Yeah.
But you'll never choose 12.
Mm-hmm. Get, be
and I think that's kind of what happened. 40% of that record said we're the 40%. Mm-hmm. Now that you know what you want to say, finish out the rest of the record.
Yeah.
And we ended up with 11 songs.
Wow.
40 minutes top to bottom, pretty concise record, but it's so there's a spirit on the record that is through every song, no matter mm-hmm. what the songs are. It's a very strong through line.
That reminds me of something else he said in there, which was about like energy, just like the creative energy flowing. And then like it doesn't, like how it comes through you, like it doesn't come from you. And
yeah.
that just, this is making me even more excited to hear this music, especially.
Well, there's a podcast I've been listening to called 500 Greatest Songs of Rock and Roll.
Ooh.
It's a fantastic podcast. But I was listening, and I don't know much about the Grateful Dead, but there was one song about the Grateful Dead called Dark Star. And they did this whole piece about it. I was in the car yesterday listening to this, and Phil Lesh, who's in the Grateful Dead, apparently said, Dark Star is always playing somewhere. We just have to tap into it.
Mm.
And I literally could have just wept. It was such a beautiful concept.
Yes.
That a particular song, especially when you're a jam band,
mm-hmm.
and that song apparently can jam for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That he said, oh, that song is playing somewhere all the time. We just got to tap into it.
Oh, it's that's so
beautiful.
Amazing. That brings me to something else I wanted to ask you about. You, when you put out Straight Line, you mentioned that song was about getting out of like the soul-sucking routines in life, which again, made me think of that book. But how do you, when you get stuck in like a creative process, what's a good way that you find to get unstuck?
It's funny how that song was sort of life imitating art imitating life. It was a blur because it was one of the early songs that I wrote after I'd gone through this extremely frustrating realization that I had to kind of not start again, but back in the trenches. You're nowhere near finished. And because the record I'd started out making, I gave myself a framework to work within, in between, because mm-hmm. I can sometimes wander off into whatever. My albums can get convoluted sometimes and I'm trying to tackle too many things and it can get a bit whatever. So I went, I'm going to make a framework that'll keep me on track and it'll keep me focused. That's the album I made, and what it ended up being was limited in its experience. It sounded just a bit linear. Good songs, they were all good songs, but it was like they were a little bit samey. Everything had, it was missing some stuff that lives outside of those boundaries I'd put up.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing I thought would give me focus became limitations. And
it's so funny because sometimes I'm sure it's the opposite, and those limitations can get like feed the art.
Absolutely, absolutely, and keep me on track. But in this case, once I got rid of them and said, they're annoying, you're ruining my life, go away, I'm going to make whatever the heck I want to make, we wrote Straight Line. And it, of course, became about breaking out of routine, monotony, and all the things that happen in life. But for me, it was born of liberation. I was liberated from these boundaries that I just spent a year in. And it felt amazing to just go, let's just play music. Let's just play music. And I was working with a guy, Greg Wells. He had this cool, funky little drum groove happening. My bass player, Jerry Flowers, grabs this mandolin, starts playing the opening riff. Then I just start singing. And we're just off we went. It was so fun. Just like unbridled fun, because I felt free.
Yeah.
I felt free of these restrictions I'd just put on myself for the last year.
I love that. It's always so great when you have that realization, when you're like, no one made these rules except me and I can do whatever I want,
exactly.
Actually, which is, it's so beautiful that that song came out of that. I also was reading that you said it was called Straight Line Lover.
And well, then yeah.
Changed to Straight Line. How often does that happen when you're writing that a song will start out like with a different name or different, and then change, it finds a different.
Well, the classic is Yesterday by Paul McCartney, right? It started as Scrambled Eggs.
That's true.
I mean, I think it was Late Night Lover, which sounds like Straight Line Lover. And it was either a mishearing of Late Night Lover as Straight Line Lover, when Straight Line Lover just sounded so much more interesting.
Yeah.
And then the Lover bit we just left off because it sounded like some 80s song. And then Straight Line just had a strength to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the song just felt like that. Just felt like an absolute dead straight line out from under the dark cloud. Hit the road, let's go, let's get out from all of this. My favorite line in the whole song actually is deceptive because it's finally leaving Hotel California. And I really wanted that very simple line because that famous song by the Eagles, Hotel California, the line says in there, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Oh.
And I thought, well, the height of liberation and freedom would have to be that you're finally getting out of Hotel California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. Now I'm going to listen to that in
yeah,
a very
it's
different
a, it's
way
a,
when I hear
it. It's a little line, but I think it's got a lot in it.
Yeah, you know? Very powerful. Talking more about this next album, you mentioned that there's a collaboration that you've been sitting on, which I'm sure you can't tell me very much about, but what can you say about that? Like, what are you most excited about for it?
It was a song that actually I had. It wasn't on the previous record, but it had been sitting around, and I really loved the song, but it felt like it needed some other thing. And a friend of mine suggested a collaboration. It's not a duet, but he said, I think you could actually do this with somebody. And I had somebody in mind and sent it to them. They loved it. And we did it last summer and we were just elated with how it turned out. It had such an easy, good, effortless no-brainer about it. And I've just had to sit around on it since
last summer.
I can
only imagine
how
hard that is. Well, we're excited for it when it does come
Thank
out.
Thank you.
You recently got to host the CMA Touring Awards. And I wanted to ask you some questions about touring because I know being out on the road, like your road family becomes like your family.
Definitely.
And I'm sure a lot of your guys have been with you for years and years and gals too. But is there anything that you guys do on a daily basis pre-show? Like, do you have pre-show rituals that you all do together that you've developed over the years? Or is the day mostly the same? Does it always change?
I don't think it's changed a lot. I think that my road family has a rhythm and a dynamic. I'm a little separate from it because I'm so I'm so focused on the show. I'm so focused on that 2 hours when I got to come out and deliver.
Of course.
That I just kind of do whatever it takes for that to be 100% on every night. Sometimes that's like hanging out with everybody and doing stuff, or sometimes just it's being on my bus completely on my own.
Yeah.
It can be super social or super isolated.
Yeah, I'm sure it varies on the day. I know Kenny talked to me once about the breathing exercises that he'll do, which sounds like the complete opposite of what I would imagine somebody is doing backstage to get like amped up to go out. You know?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, it's athletic in the sense that you're just preparing for a game and it's a big party for everybody else. But for me, it's a game. It's game day. And I got to come out and be 100% on for 2 hours and knock it out of the park and then do it again the next night and do it again the next night, you know, and that just takes a certain discipline.
Yeah.
That's why I so love being on stage, because it's meant to be fun, right? But it's because so much discipline goes around the edges of it in order for it to be effortless
and fun. The preparation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you're disciplined with everything, then you can get on stage and just whatever you want to do, your body will do it, your voice will do it, it will all do it because You've done the work.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You've put in the work.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So many artists will talk about how great it is going out on the road with you, just like a masterclass in touring. Who do you feel like you probably picked up the most from in your early days touring and learning how you wanted to run
so
your
many.
Camp?
I mean, Kenny Chesney, I learned a lot from him. I got a trainer after being on Kenny Chesney's tour.
Did you?
I'm like, who's that guy? He goes, that's my trainer. I go, you have a trainer? What? And he went, you don't? I go, I'm waking up at 2 p.m. We're partying every night. He goes, you won't be doing that for long. If you want to, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, you're right. You got to get it together out here. Kenny had it together long before a lot of people. I learned a lot from him. Kix Brooks and took us out on Brooks and Dunn tours, and Kix was really good to us. I think the people I went out with that took really good care of their opening acts were the ones that I, of course, had the most respect for. And I said to Kix, you know, why are you so good to your opening act? And he said, because the show starts whenever the very first act comes on. That audience is paid to see the whole show. Mm. So that needs to be amazing right from the beginning. And then, you know, we're all here to do the best job possible.
That's such a good point to think about.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about your live shows some more, and like, you know, you always notoriously have like so much energy in these amazing guitar solos. And from someone who does not play guitar, what comes first? Like when you're writing a song, are you keeping a guitar solo in mind, or is that something you always kind of like ad lib in later?
It's a great question because it's reactionary.
Okay.
It's reactionary. And then someone said to me, well, actually it was a producer I worked with, Dan Huff, had said to me a few albums ago, I was working with a lot of different people, and Dan said, you don't have as many guitar solos on your songs these days as you used to. Why is that? And I said, well, you know, we record the song, and then when the song is pretty much recorded, I'll go sit behind the console with my electric guitar, hit play, through the big speakers in the studio, and then I'll just react to the track, and something will happen, or it won't happen. And I said, and a lot of these things didn't feel like they needed guitar. I'm not just going to shove it on there because I'm a guitar player. The track didn't really need guitar. I said, I said to Dan, you know, it's not me. The track is saying it doesn't want guitar. And Dan said, why is the track saying it doesn't want guitar?
That's what the art's telling me, Dan.
I don't know. It's like some sensei question right there.
It's flowing through me. It's not coming from me, Dan, basically.
It was a good, it made me question a lot of things, though. Dan will do that. We've been together a long time, and he'll really bring up good stuff. Why didn't the track make you want to play guitar? I'm like, I don't know. Let me think about that. Maybe I should create tracks that make me want to play guitar. And this record is full of guitar.
Oh, I'm so excited about that.
Because it was, and very organic. Mm-hmm. The tracks made me want to play. Straight Line as a solo, Messed Up as Me as a solo. They all have guitar solos.
I can't wait to hear it. I feel like the energy that even just hearing you talk about it is really exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. I hated where I was at in February 2023 and elated in February 24.
It's a good thing to remember for the next time you go back to do it, that like in a year, how much can change in the cycle of where you are, where you think you are and then where you end up.
Yeah. And it's the willingness to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, even though it's going to require so much work and take longer, everything shifted. Yeah. I called my manager and I go, well, we're not touring next year.
Sorry.
And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I can feel it. I'm telling you. He goes, you only need a couple of songs. And I said, I'm telling you how this, I just know this. We're not going to tour till next year, or maybe the year after, you know. And this is in 23, so Wow. Yeah, it was on.
I wanted to ask, you were inducted into the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame last fall, which a great honor. And I wanted to ask you about just a couple of the songs that you wrote, because we're playing a lot of the hits this week while you're on the show. Can you just talk about the story behind Somebody Like You, which you won your first Grammy for?
What do you want to know about Somebody Like You?
I don't know. Talk about writing that song, or even the inspiration for it, what you remember from that time.
Oh, I remember a lot. It wasn't a good time in my life. I wanted to write with some different people, and my manager at the time suggested a couple of different guys out in LA, one of which was a guy named John Shanks, who was a great guitar player, producer, songwriter. So I went out to LA, took my banjo with me, my six-string banjo, was really nervous to write with somebody from LA. I'd never written with anybody like that. And I was, you know, in that environment that I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'd written with people before from LA, but I knew them, didn't know this guy. And I was just so nervous. And I woke up that morning, I went to an Irish bar and I had a Guinness at like 9 a.m. And then I had another Guinness. And then I had I had three, it's not a good story. I was kind of hammered and drove to the studio to meet this guy. But because I was feeling pretty loose and pretty good, I walked in and he had this little drum beat going. And I was like, hey, hi, I'm Keith. Yeah, great to meet you. And I pull out my banjo and I just played it, you know, to this little beat. He goes, that's really good. What's that? And I'm like, I don't know.
It just came to me.
Yeah. And then the melody came quite quickly. And I just started singing, there's a new wind blowing like I've never known, blah, blah, blah. Because I felt good.
Yeah.
I was feeling quite good. But I was in a bad, my relationship with my girlfriend at the time was shot. It wasn't good because I wasn't in a good place. Obviously, I'm in a bar at 9 a.m. It's not a good sign. And but I wanted to be. I really wanted to be a better guy. And so I wrote a song about me being that better guy. I wasn't there yet, but I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And I remember finishing the song the next day. 2 days we'd written it. And I flew home and I was so excited. I had a great little demo of the song and I thought it sounded really great. And I played it for my girlfriend. And she called me an effing hypocrite at the end of the song.
Oh.
And stormed out of the room. And I just stood there for a minute going, she's so right. I really am. I'm not that guy, but I want to be. I'd really like to be. So that song has a funny relationship with that song.
Deeply grateful, but also that's like very vulnerable. Thank you for sharing that story, first of all. But
yeah, she was right, you know, and I think she loved me in her own way, and I wished that I could love me the way she did.
Mm.
So even the line, "I want to love somebody like you," really means I want to love me the way you do.
Yeah.
I wish I could love me the way you do. I want to love somebody like you do. Mm-hmm. Not like you specifically. I want to love yeah. like you do is really what is underpinning that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is a beautiful song. Thank you so much for sharing Thank that you. Story.
It's one of my favorites to this day.
It's an amazing
playing it live.
You have so many great songs, Keith, and I'm so excited to hear this record. Thank you so much for the time today.
We really appreciate it. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.